right where you are, I challenge you to just speak to Christ. Tell him how great he is. Don't let this just be another song. But let this be a moment for you to take your mind off of everything that's trying to distract you and just focus on how good he is, how good he's been to you, how he's kept you, how he continues to keep you, how he's kept you in a right mind, how he's protected your heart, how he's protected your body, how he's protected your family, how he's protected your future. Watch this. In spite of your past, he's protected you. And it's only because he's so great and he's so good, and because you are a son and a daughter of the Most High King. Oh, come on now. You are royalty. Come on, come on, come on. You should see value in yourself. You should understand that you are who you are because of who he is. And as a church, we are in a time of healing. And right now, we don't need a clever sermon. We need the presence of God. Like the song said, in his presence, change happens. Come on now. In his presence, healing happens. In his presence, joy is found. It says, in his presence, we are set free. And this house, this church, is in need of his presence. So I don't have a long sermon for you. I feel like the Lord is calling us into a time of worship and prayer. And I'm just going to point you to him. So dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we take this moment. And with everything that we're dealing with, we know that you have a way of bringing us back to the feet of your cross. No matter what goes on in this world, no matter what goes on in our lives, no matter what goes on in our church, I pray that we never forget that it's for you that we live, and it's for you that we will continue to operate as a church, God. You are the center of our joy. Your scripture says you are the head of our church, and we are simply the body of this church. So whatever you say we do, we come into obedience and agreement with your word, God. And we pray that in your presence today that we would find healing. We might not find all of the answers. We might not find clarity, God, but we just want to find you. We want to find your peace, and we want to find your joy. And your scripture says your peace surpasses all understanding. So when we don't understand, will you comfort our hearts? When we don't understand, will you wrap your arms around us? And if we don't understand anything else, we know that you are still holding us in your hands. So dear Heavenly Father, as I close this prayer and we go into your scripture, God, lead us into a time of presence, of healing, and worship, God. You've already set the stage. So dear Heavenly Father, we seek your scripture. And we'll be ever obedient to do what it says. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone who agreed with this prayer said amen. Come on now, say it louder than that. Amen. Come on, come on, come on. Make some noise for the Lord. Make some noise for Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. My only hope in the time of storm. I'm going to go straight into the word because I don't think I'm going to be before you long. The Holy Spirit is already moving, and I think that we've already spent enough time in worship, but we need to spend some time in prayer together. My prayer for today is that not only we would hear his word, but we would experience his presence, and that in his presence we can find some bit of healing. This is a tough time for us as a church. And when I was preparing for this message, I was reminded of how the Word of God has a way of speaking to you differently depending on the season you're in. Oh, come on, have you read a passage that meant something to you a year ago, but you were in a different season a year ago, but then now you're in another season, and that same scripture, that same passage has a new word for you. So I'm going to read something to you today that encouraged me when I first considered the call to be a pastor and to be a planter. And it encouraged me because It's a reflection of Jesus' heart for his people. Will you go with me to Matthew chapter 9? We're going to go to Matthew chapter 9, start at verse 35, and I'm going to end at verse 38. Matthew chapter 9, starting at verse 9, we're going to read 35 through 38. And it reads like this: "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their churches and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction." Come on, somebody say every. He healed every disease and every affliction. Verse 36, "And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd." Verse 37, "Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few.'" And what's the first thing he told them to do? "Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." The title of my message, however long it's going to be, because I don't think it's going to be long, is "The Harvest is His." Can I say that one more time? Come on now. The harvest is his. It's always belonged to him. It's always been about him, and it will continue to be about him. The harvest is his. We just started a series last week, and Pastor Nate taught us about how the harvest is a process. And for many of us, you might be in a different stage of your harvest. But the harvest that ultimately we're talking about is the harvest of the kingdom of God. When Jesus started his ministry, I just read this to you in Matthew 9, but it says the exact same thing in Matthew 4, when he came out of his fast and the devil turned up the heat on him and tempted him in the wilderness, and he stayed true to what he believed. And the first thing he did after his fast, after the wilderness, is he went to the cities and the villages and he visited the churches. And it says that when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. And I want you to know as a church that we are nothing more than a crowd of broken people coming to see the Savior. We are just like the people in this text. We are a crowd of people who are coming to experience the Savior. And Jesus saw it fit to come to every city and every village and teach and proclaim the gospel. And it says he saw them, that they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. The beautiful thing about the harvest being a process, and this is my first point, it's that Jesus participates in our process. Oh, come on now, that should encourage somebody. Jesus participates in our process, because even right now, we're experiencing that there are aspects and stages of the process that we could have never prepared ourselves for. There's things that you could have never prepared your heart for. You could have never prepared your mind for. And it'd be different if you were experiencing this process on your own. But Jesus participates in our process. Verse 35 says, he went through every city and village, and when he brought his presence, things changed. Oh my goodness. He went to every city and he went to every synagogue. And it says he entered and things started to change. If we are entering into a season of harvest, because I believe we are entering into a season of harvest, then we must be more intentional to experience the presence of the Lord. Why are you saying that, Charles? Because the presence of the Lord makes all the difference. Oh my gosh, I need to play that back. Y'all not speaking too good to me right now. The presence of the Lord makes all of the difference. When he is present in a city, when he is present in a borough, when he is present in a church, supernatural things happen for the sake of his harvest. Supernatural things happen for the sake of his kingdom. And right now, TGH, we need Jesus to show up and participate in our process. This is a part of the process that we did not anticipate. We didn't think this would be where we would be at right now. We didn't expect to experience this right now. And we know one thing for sure. We're not sure about too many things, but we're sure about one thing, that we need Jesus to show up in our situation and participate in our process. If we're gonna heal, we won't be able to heal unless Jesus participates. And if you keep going in the scripture in verse 35, it says he showed up and he did a few things. Oh, I'm getting happy already. He showed up to church and things happened. Right before I even tell you what happened, I just want you to pray with me as I'm saying these things. Jesus, we need you to show up. We need you to show up in our church. We need your presence in this church. Though we may have a few things that aren't here, we need you to be here no matter what. We need Jesus to show up and participate in our process. Can I tell you what happened when he showed up? Look at what happened when Jesus shows up. It says, first, he was teaching in their synagogues. So the first thing that happens when Jesus shows up, people hear and receive the truth. And I know that's not shout worthy. You wanted me to say people get cars, people get money, people get elevation, people find bae and boo. I want to tell you, when Jesus show up, supernatural things happen. People hear and receive the truth because the gospel is being taught. But then secondly, it says the truth that they receive compels people to build the kingdom. Oh, I'm sorry that I'm talking kingdom stuff and not prosperity stuff. I'm sorry that I'm talking harvest stuff and not exciting stuff. But when Jesus shows up, the truth compels us to build the kingdom. But if you didn't shout about those two things, here's another encouragement. It says after he taught and after he proclaimed the gospel, it says he began healing. Woo! Because it's not enough to just teach the word. It's not enough to just proclaim the gospel. Because when we show up broken. When we show up heartbroken. We show up confused. And we need the Lord to touch our hearts and our minds so he doesn't just come and throw scriptures at us. He doesn't just come and show us the Bible. He sees what we're dealing with and he starts to heal. Come on now, put your hand on your heart. If you need Jesus to come into your situation and to come into your heart, the same way he did in this text, he's gonna show up. He's gonna bring truth to your situation. He's gonna build with you. But most of all, he's going to heal. It says that when Jesus showed up, people were healed. And just in case the enemy wants to whisper in your ear and says he doesn't have healing for you, the scripture says that he healed every disease. Oh, and every affliction. He didn't leave anything left on the table. So if you're mourning, there is healing for you. If you are sick, there is healing for you. If you are grieving, there is healing for you. And there's only one person who can do that for you, and it's Jesus. His presence, when he's in our church, it will provide healing. I'm so grateful that Jesus participates in our process. Jesus started his ministry going to every city, calling his disciples, and stepping into churches. And it says that he just looked at the crowd. He looked at the crowd. He didn't just see people. He saw souls. He saw people who had real life experiences. He saw people who went through trauma. He saw churches that go through tough seasons. He saw leaders who were serving anyway. He saw people showing up to church in spite of their emotions, in spite of how they feel, in spite of the questions, in spite of the attack of the enemy in their ears. Jesus participated in our process. The second thing I wanted to share with you, we find in verse 36, because after he proclaimed and he taught and he healed, verse 36, it says, when he saw the crowds, I want to put you in the scripture, when he saw us, when he sees you, he had compassion for them. Do you know what compassion is? Do you understand what that is? To be compassionate is to be deeply concerned about another person's sufferings. Can I say that again? You didn't hear what I just said. To have compassion is to be concerned about another person's suffering. To be deeply concerned about another person's suffering. And it should encourage you in times like this where we need our Savior. The first thing that should encourage you is that Jesus sees you. Oh, I wish I had something more profound to say. But I just wanted to tell somebody in this room that Jesus sees you. He sees your situation. He sees your tears when it's just you, when you are crying all alone and you feel like you're isolated. Jesus is with you and he sees you. But we are celebrating Black History Month, right? This is February, right? One of the things as we as a people we've been fighting for is don't just see my struggle. Care for my struggle. You've seen us struggle enough. It's been years and years of struggle, but do you care and have compassion? So even beyond us, him seeing us, it says that he cares for us. So our encouragement today is that Jesus sees us. As a church, as a people, Jesus sees us. And he's not just looking, he's caring. He's concerned about us. Jesus saw the crowd, and it says he had pity on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Now, hold on, wait a minute. Let me tell you something. I know I said before that we're like the people in this text. I know I said that. I know that we're just like the crowd coming to see Jesus. But this part of the scripture, we can't relate to. Oh, I'm about to get happy right now. This part of the scripture is what we cannot relate to. And I know in times it can feel like as a church that we are helpless and lost like the people in the text. But I have a word of encouragement for you. We are nothing like the people in this text. These people were suffering before Jesus gave his life on the cross and rose again, victorious over sin. These people had not yet received the gift of eternal life, and they had not yet received the helper in the Holy Spirit. I know it may feel like in many situations that we have been abandoned and helpless like sheep without a shepherd, but I came to tell you this morning, one, we are not harassed. And we are not helpless. Why? Because we still have the Spirit of God. And guess what? The Spirit of God lives within you. And he's here to stay. In verse 2, the second thing I want to say, we are not without a shepherd. Jesus is the head of the church. And he will never leave or forsake you. I need to say that again. We are not helpless and we are not without a shepherd. Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus will never leave or forsake us because Jesus is with us and he sees us and he cares for us. He's going to participate in our healing process because nothing can get in the way of the harvest that he has called us to. The harvest belongs to him. The harvest is his. And even in the scripture, he told them to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his harvest. TGH, the definition of harvest. You can go to dictionary.com right now. And the number one definition of a harvest, it says it's the gathering. You didn't just hear what I just said. The definition of harvest is the gathering of crops, the gathering of resources, the gathering of all of the things that God has for his kingdom. So even as we go through this season together, and we're going to do this together, you need to understand that by our very name, we have been in harvest season. And this may be challenging, this may be confusing, this may be hard, but literally by name we are harvest. And Jesus is with us and he sees us and he cares for us. My third point is that Jesus reminds us that the harvest has always been his. The harvest has always been his. 2 years ago, me and my wife moved to New York. And the Lord had called me to this city, to this area, to Harlem. And I had no idea why. I was just a dude in the South being a youth pastor, jumping on stage, making kids go crazy. That was what I loved. I was passionate about youth. I was passionate about young adults. And I thought I'd be doing that my whole life. But for some reason, the Lord called me to New York to plant a church. And in that season, this scripture encouraged me because it says that Jesus saw the crowd and he had compassion for people. And when we step into New York, I saw people who I had compassion for. And I said, Lord, help me grow my heart for the people of Harlem, for the people of New York. And then I found a church called The Gathering. And at The Gathering, me and my wife, we found community. We joined a life group like y'all all should. We joined a life group and we found community. And I found a mentor and a brother in the founder of this church. And I know it might not be appropriate, but I just want to spend some time and honor the founder of this church, the pastor of this church, who the Lord did a great work through. Pastor Kenneth, Shanika, and the entire Heart family. This is a tough time for us. We miss you and we're grieving your presence. But we know that the Lord is up to something. And we thank God for the 5 years and the sweat and tears you put into this. Brother, we love you and we're praying for you. Shanika, we love you and we're praying for you. The entire Heart family, we love you and we're praying for you. But even in the midst of this time, we're reminded by Jesus that TGH never belonged to a person. The scripture says, can I tell you what the scripture says? The scripture says that the harvest is his. It literally says we pray to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his harvest. So will you join me in being a laborer in the work that God is going to continue to do in this house? Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful, which means there's still work to do. The work does not stop because we hit a wilderness season. The harvest is still plentiful. And then he said, but the laborers are few. Because when times get hard, we don't want to do the labor. When we start to feel our emotions, we no longer want to labor. When we go through loss, it's hard to labor. But then he calls us into prayer. Before Jesus did this in the scripture, he was in prayer for 40 days and 40 nights. He was God in flesh, but he was still a man. And the only thing that gave him strength was his time in prayer. He said, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. The last thing I want to tell you, we won't make it through this process unless we pray. We won't make it through this process unless we pray. We won't see his harvest unless we pray. But remind yourself that we are simply servants in the kingdom, in his harvest. The harvest is his, but we are servants in his harvest. Before we pray, I want to read something from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4 through 6. Arguably the greatest church planter in the Apostle Paul. The blueprint for what it means to obey God and seek the harvest is the Apostle Paul. And he often experienced having to deal with people who were going through grief and loss. And we have our hearts attached to men, and that's okay. And there were often times he had to encourage them that, yes, your heart is attached to a person, but never let it be more attached to a person than the Lord of the harvest. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4, he says, when one of us says, I am a follower of Paul, and another says, I'm a follower of Apollos, aren't you acting like people of the world After all, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We are only God's servants through whom you believe the good news. And each of us did the work that the Lord gave us. This is where the encouragement comes in. He says, I planted the seed in your hearts. And Apollos watered the seed. Oh, but here's the but. But it was God who made it grow. Oh, one man planted, another watered, but it's God who makes it grow. Come on, now let me read the rest because I'm about to run up out of here. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters works together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their good work. I'm gonna read verse 9, and I want you to give God a big praise, and we're gonna pray. For we are both God's workers, and you are God's field, and you are God's building. So if you believe in what I've just preached to you, that Jesus is gonna participate in our process, that Jesus sees us, and that he cares for us, and that the harvest never belonged to a person, but it belonged to him, will you pray with me that what one man planted and what another will water, that God will continue to grow? Dear God, we pray for your presence. Dear God, we pray for your harvest. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you named this church and you gave this church a purpose before you put it into the heart of a man. You had a purpose and a destiny for the people of TGH. And one man planted and another waters. But no matter what the season, we believe in you to grow the harvest. And we're praying right now that you will continue to send laborers into your harvest, because there are still people hurting in Harlem. There are still people who need to hear the good news of the gospel. There are still people that need community. And we still stand for justice, love, and mercy. And we want to see that continue to be cultivated in the community of Harlem. If you believe that, I want you to give God a crazy praise all over the place. Hey, 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 praise his name. Lift his name. Lift his name. Lift his name. It's always been about him. And it will always be about him. The harvest belongs to him. And after Jesus said to his disciples that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few, he said, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest. And we've already worshiped, and we're going to continue to worship. But this is our time to be obedient to what Jesus said. He says, when the harvest is coming, the best place for you to be found is on your knees in prayer. He said, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest. Pray earnestly to the true head of this church in Jesus Christ. So I'm gonna get off this stage and I'm gonna come down, and I pray that you would join me, join us, join this church, join the laborers in the harvest as we give God glory for what belongs to him. But we pray for the growth that he already has predestined for our church, for our community, because he's gonna do it for his name's sake, for his kingdom's sake. So I'm gonna go ahead and ask you to come up now and let's pray to the Lord of the harvest. Think about those who still need the kingdom of God to have its way in Harlem. Think about the vision of this church, to see people dignified, to see God glorified. Think about how the Holy Spirit has already been moving. Think about all that we've done up until this point. Think about the vision that he gave in the beginning. And think about how much more we will continue to do if we continue to obey him. And we pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest. There's a passage where Jesus enters into a church and he sees people gambling, and he sees people selling things, and he sees people treating what he would say the church like a den of thieves. And this is the time where we see Jesus furious because of what the church had become. And this is the first time we see the gangster side of Jesus, and he flips tables. And this was so astounding because Jesus has self-control. Jesus is composed, but when he saw the church come something, it became something beyond the harvest. He was frustrated. And what he said the church should be is a house of prayer. He said if it's nothing else, the church should be a house of prayer. So right where you are, I challenge you to close your eyes, take the focus off of yourself, and pray for his harvest. Pray for his church. Pray for his people. Pray for the people whom he sees. Pray for those who feel harassed and helpless. Pray for those who need him to heal their heart and heal their mind. And pray that the gathering will be the place where people encounter the presence of God. I'm going to start us in prayer, but we're going to continue in prayer. And we don't have a timetable. However long it takes, that's how long it takes. We need to pray and humble ourselves before the Lord. The scripture says, when my people will turn from their wicked ways, humble themselves and pray, then I will heal their land. So dear Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves before you. And we don't have all the words, but we know your name. We know that you are Yeshua. We know that you are Alpha and Omega. We know that you are Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And we just learned that you are the Lord of the harvest. We know that your name is the Great I Am. So that means that everything that we need you to be in this season, you are. Everything that we need you to be in our situation, you are. We call on your name. We lift up the name of Yeshua. We lift up the name of Yahweh. We lift up the name of Jesus. Because no other name shall any man or woman be saved, God. We thank you for what you've already done in this church up until this point. But dear Heavenly Father, we believe what you said, where the harvest is still plentiful. So dear Heavenly Father, we push past our feelings, we push past our emotions, and we submit ourselves to your work. We want to be laborers in your field. We don't want to just be people who see the concerns of our community, but we don't act and provide care. Dear Heavenly Father, as we kneel before you, as we lay at your throne, as we crouch down and we get uncomfortable, we pray that you would fill our hearts. We pray that you would fill our souls, God. We pray that every place would be inhabited with your presence. And we want to just give your name the glory. We just want to give your name the honor. We just want to give your name the praise. And dear Heavenly Father, we even confess anything that is unpleasing to you, anything that we have done to displease you. We pray that you would lead us down a path of repentance. We pray that we wouldn't be filled with guilt and shame because of what we've done. We pray that you would turn it around and make it our testimony, that someone would hear how we were able to turn from our wicked ways. And it wasn't because we were so strong. It's because of your spirit that came and helped us in the time of need. Your scripture says that when we were helpless, you came at the right time and died for us. And I believe that there's someone who is streaming. There's someone in the house today who they don't need a clever prayer or a sermon. They need you to enter into their life and bring them salvation and bring them eternal life so that they will not leave this place the same. You are lifting up prophets in this place. Oh, come on now. I feel that. You are lifting up prophetesses in this place. You are lifting up strong women of God. You are lifting up strong men of God who will be bold and courageous to share the gospel. We pray for unashamed young people in the name of Jesus. We pray for revival in Harlem. We pray that New York City would be better because of some servants that saw the harvest and they continue to labor. Lord, we kneel before you and we continue in this time of prayer and this time of worship, even in spite of the confusion and the hurt. Thank you for reminding us that the harvest is yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.